That's the virus hunters. That's how they were dealing with the war on cancer. The war on cancer was based on a funding program through the National Institutes of Health called the Virus Cancer Program. That was the only, until a few years ago, it was the only major federal research project to determine the cause of cancer. So, in fact, no wonder we've been looking for viruses. And yet, by the 1980s, it was clear that cancer had not been cured, that most cancers had not even been able to be blamed on viruses. The few that were, we didn't have vaccines for these cancers, we didn't have antibiotics, we didn't have treatments, we had no way to deal with cancer, and yet we supposedly discovered the viruses that caused them. Well, think about it. If a virus is a slow virus, if it can go latent, if it can be eliminated from the body, you have nothing but antibodies left, so your body already got rid of the virus, and yet you still get cancer. What could you possibly do to fight a deadly virus like that? You can even get rid of the virus, and it doesn't do anything. The logic of this turned science upside down on its head. But today there are tens of thousands of laboratories across the United States and many more in Europe funded entirely to buy into these virus cancer views, and their whole careers are based on it. Too many Nobel Prizes and other awards have now been given for the research in this field, despite its total failure to yield results, and it's been passed off to the public as a great advance in biotechnology, but in fact there's nothing there at all. No progress against cancer. By the early 1980s, it was clear we were losing the war on cancer, and many scientists were willing to admit this now, particularly those not studying viruses. I should add also that at this point, there was, I don't really have the time to get into this now, but there was another branch of the federal government or another part of the biomedical establishment also that had an interest, tremendous interest in viruses. That's called the Public Health Service of the United States. It has agencies like the National Institutes of Health, and the Centers for Disease Control, and the Surgeon General, who's the head of the Public Health Service, under one roof. And their goal is to protect you from accidents, disease, anything that's unhealthy, protect you from smoking, protect you from allegedly drunk driving, protect you from overpopulation, and from infectious disease. These are the people who would like to force you to be vaccinated, force you to be quarantined, force you to be treated with toxic drugs every time they decide that there's a deadly epidemic coming through. Centers for Disease Control works closely with the World Health Organization out of Geneva, Switzerland, which went earlier in 1995. Went into Kitwit area of Zaire in Central Africa, claiming that there was an Ebola fever epidemic in the region, quarantined people, forcibly treated them, shut down mass gatherings, created a cordon sanitaire which independent doctors and journalists could not enter the area to confirm that Ebola fever was there. Moreover, they exaggerated Ebola fever. I've read some of the literature or the summaries of the literature on Ebola fever. It's not nearly as deadly as the news made it. The news was talking about people bleeding everywhere and exploding and organs melting. Ebola fever isn't like that, and there's no evidence there wasn't even an Ebola outbreak. But these people used the opportunity as a justification for various police state measures. But definitely, the virus hunters, and in both in the public health establishment and in the National Institutes of Health, had by 1980 a very, very decided interest in scaring the public with new viruses and in finding a way to justify their old virus research.